Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Small business owner with big dreams but feeling stuck in the daily grind, then it's time to become the superhero of your own success story with me, Sheena Wyatt at Kapow Coaching. I'm here to help you fight off the villains of time, stress and overwhelm, and together we'll cut through the chaos, bring clarity to your path and unlock your true potential. If you're ready to step into your superpower and lead your business victory, then let's connect and start your journey to greatness today.
And welcome to this episode of the Business Success Network for Disabled Entrepreneurs podcast. I'm Jo. I run the Facebook community as well as do various other things, including my own business and a podcast as well. I won't go into those today. I am joined by V Chamberlain Kidd, who is my lovely guest. V, would you, firstly, it's absolutely lovely to have you on board. Would you like to give us an introduction about who you are and what you do?
Okay, I'm V Chamberlain Kidd. I'm a solo entrepreneur under an umbrella called Essentially Evolving. I called it that because I merged the magic of plant medicine and essential oils with core shamanic healing. So I thought, we're all evolving. Well, I hope we all believe we're evolving into wonderful, amazing human beings we're meant to be. So I thought I'd put those two together. Basically, I'm a core shamanic practitioner, as I said, and I believe that most of our beliefs about ourselves from like society and families and school and stuff like that are pretty much rubbish. So I'm a shamanic healer who wants to get you back to believing you're amazing and help you be empowered and ensouled. So that's probably my mission in life. But I do that in the other reason I've got evolving in my title is because I'm always adding in different things that I do. So I've got lots of different lovely like healing sessions and bits and pieces. I like bringing clarity to people, but mostly I want people to believe they're amazing, because I think if we all believed we were amazing, we wouldn't have as much problems in the world. So
I would agree on that. A lot of problems is not just you believing you're not amazing, but other people telling you you're not amazing.
Absolutely.
We all are.
I know. We all are. Absolutely.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. And from that, I got that you also have shiny thing syndrome of, oh, that's nice, I've had that in.
Yes. Oh, no. I fell into finding out about core shamanism because I home educated my children. So I was a database programmer. Then I had children. And then my husband and I were going to like job share and share the educating of the kids. And it just didn't happen that way. So I ended up being the sole person. And so I was like, oh, what can I do alongside my kids? I wanted to keep my brain active. So I started doing another degree, even though I'd already got two. So I quickly knocked that on the head and then did lots of different like healing practices and stuff. Ended with core shamanism. That's how I knew that one stuck, basically. So I did Reiki, I did hypnotherapy, I did Silver Method, I did EFT. So yes, shiny syndrome, definitely.
Yeah. Well, at least all those things sort of mesh together a little.
Oh, yeah. I bring them all in.
Yeah,
but I wasn't diagnosed ADHD until this year. But looking back, it's quite obvious. I was diagnosed autistic first.
Yeah,
which also makes a lot of sense. But then I look back at what I did over the lifetime and go, oh, that explains so much.
Did people mention symptoms and things? And you go, stop talking about me.
Yeah, what are you saying? But I just think that's part of everybody's uniqueness, isn't it?
It is.
That there's lots of different neurotypes, there's lots of different everything, and basically they're labels. If they help you see the world through a different lens and understand why you see things that way, fantastic. If it's a label to beat somebody else up, not so great. So we're back to everybody's amazing. Let's just all agree on that.
My husband is most likely autistic, and he doesn't want a diagnosis, he doesn't care that much, but it's framed everything that he's done in his life when he saw somebody pointed it out to him. And kind of he made an offhand comment that I have ADHD symptoms because I have a tendency to hyperfocus a lot. It's like I've always described myself as an all or nothing person. I either can't get started, can't do anything, I'm just going to wander up over there, or I am super focused on everything.
Yep.
I used to call it being a workaholic.
But it's just a lens, isn't it, to look at you through, which can be helpful. So,
I mean, earlier in the year, I was having a week off because I went to visit my mum. She was having cataract operation. And when I'm at mum's, I struggle to focus a little bit because she'll talk to me and ask me questions. And, oh, can we just do this? So getting any big jobs done is out of the question. And one of my co-hosts of the other podcast I do mentioned, well, it'd be nice to have a website. I think within 24 hours, I've built it. It's like, yes, we can.
Look, here it is.
Yeah, I haven't SEO'd it or anything yet because that's extra bits. I might do it when I'm in the next week because I'm back at mum's for a second cataract operation. And I'm actually up to date on most of my work. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah,
don't tell anyone. More will flow in. I completely get it. Other than wanting people to know that they're amazing humans, what drew you to all the shamanic stuff?
So I was brought up religious. So I was baptized Methodist, then we became C of E. In fact, my dad, who was a solicitor, ended up training and becoming a Church of England priest. I know it was a great swerve, but maybe he was also ADHD, who knows? And so I knew I had a spiritual side that needed like honoring in some way, but I don't like hierarchical things. Hello, autistic me.
Yeah.
And so I actually went on it. It was on a course that I went on to try and deal with some anger issues I was having. And they talked about the quadrinity. So you have a body, you have an emotional side, an intellectual side, and you have a spirit. And so I was like, yeah, I've been neglecting that because I'd just gone, don't want to be spiritual because I didn't want to be associated with church. So I don't have a problem with Christianity as such. I just have a problem with the hierarchy side.
I get that.
Yeah. And so it's like, how do I honor my spiritual side? And it was weirdly enough, my dad, who had a book about shamanism. So it's like, how did that happen? You're a priest. Because he had an inkling that he believed that Jesus was a shaman.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different, we could do a whole podcast on that. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I ended up reading the book that he had and then went and got a soul retrieval. So that was my first sort of experience. And that led to just some amazing stuff happening in my life. I was just like, well, this is weird. So I thought I'd train in it because I am a magpie and was collecting lots of things. So I did like the intro courses and everything. And then they were doing a practitioner 3-year course. And I was like, I'll do that just for me. I wasn't going to do it as a job. And then I just thought, I can't keep this. When you find something, it's like, I cannot keep this to myself. This is life changing for anybody who may be in the same position as me, spiritually curious, but don't want to do any of the religion things because for whatever reason. So that's how I got into that. And then I wanted to bring plant medicine into it. But I didn't want to learn. Weirdly enough, that sort of put a bit of a stop to wanting to do loads of courses. I didn't want to become a herbalist or anything. So I found essential oils. So I brought that in as well. So it was all a bit by accident, but it stuck. So, I mean, that was fascinating. I know, they're great. It's great, isn't it? Because the ones that stick, those are the ones that are making the difference.
Yeah.
And then it's just all about finding your true soul, your wild soul, being who you're truly meant to be. So it just fitted with me wanting people to believe they're amazing, they're brilliant as they are. Nature wants you to be you, like wholly you, like you've got a place in this web of life, and for that web to work properly, you have to be you. And a lot of, like, even home educating the kids, it was all around their self-agency, autonomy, believing they're amazing, not wanting to homogenize people or kids going to that sort of thing. So it's trying to find who you truly are and being that, and then wholly embodying and souling that wonderfulness. So
basically, you don't have to fit in the box they want you to fit in. No. Don't be you.
In fact, get out of the box, because, you know, unless it helps you. If the box helps you be who you need to be, stay in the box. But
carry it with you.
Yeah, but you are part of this amazing planet that we live on, and you need to be amazingly you. So how do we best get people back to that? And I think we've lost that connection with our wild soul.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
That all sounds absolutely normal.
Attention, all business owners. Are you ready to elevate your marketing game? Meet Escape the Village, based in the heart of Wiltshire and with national coverage. With over 30 years of experience, Liz and her team specialise in crafting tailored marketing strategies just for you. From websites to SEO and content creation to social media management, we have everything you need to grow your business. Whether you're in rural, equine or the agricultural sector, we understand your unique challenges and are here to support you. So why wait? Visit escapethevillage.com today and let us help you escape ordinary marketing.
So the next question I have for you is one we ask everybody that comes on this podcast, whether it's this version or the women's version or any of them. And no answer is ever the same, but they all have something in common. So I'm going to ask you, what does business success look like to you? It's a big question.
So I would say success for me is feeling that I'm doing something worthwhile, but that doesn't take away from who I am. So it's me being wholly me, supporting other people to be wholly them, doing something that I love, that empowers me, and hopefully that enthusiasm and empowerment spreads to other people, making the world a better place. And by that, I don't mean like financially better, but connection to nature better. So planet as in better place to live on, be alongside, one person at a time.
I like that. Nobody ever says they're in business because of financial reasons. It's like everybody's like, once the bills are paid, I'm good. This is why I'm doing it. This is my mission. A lot of it is about helping other people. And I always like that.
Yeah, I mean, money, yes. Money's nice. You know, it helps a lot. I wish we didn't have it. I used to help run a time bank where it was an hour for an hour.
Yeah.
And that just made so much sense to me, that you could exchange an hour of your time doing what you're really good at for an hour of someone else's time. Just seemed more fair, like a fairer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we put up, I don't like a hierarchy. So this idea that some things are worth more than others really grates with me.
Yeah.
But,
it's the world we live in, unfortunately.
I'd love to get back to that. I'll do an hour of healing for you. You do an hour of whatever for me. And like, I'd love to get back to that sort of bartering thing. That would be cool.
Maybe one day.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now. You've got a spare couple of hours, haven't you?
Not today. Maybe by the end of the week.
Yes.
I live in hope. So we know where you are. We know why you're doing it. So what are your future plans? Are they massive? Are they trudging along?
So my future plans are to keep evolving, as I am. I'd like to have more online presence, just because I think it's more accessible for people. I'd like to do more educational stuff, because a lot of people don't know what core shamanism is. And actually, the way I do it, every shamanic healer is different. If you meet one who calls themselves a shaman, run a mile. But other than that, they're all different. So like everything, find the one that works for you. So I'd like to do some more educational stuff around what is shamanism, but also what is what I do when it comes to that. I'd love to create a community of like-minded people who want to connect further to their wild souls and spiritual selves, but in a more embodied way that honors the planet. So that is like a long-term goal. And then just building sort of a sustainable and inclusive business, because obviously as someone who's been relatively newly diagnosed, I'm trying to make sure that what I'm doing is actually accessible for people and inclusive. So
there's always little steps you can take, and then it rolls into one. Okay, I've now got to ask, what is the difference between a shamanic healer and a shaman, and why should I run a mile?
You maybe shouldn't run a mile. You should just ask them why they call themselves that. So, like, the term shaman, it's a long thing, but it's right. There was a cultural anthropologist who went round the world trying to find cultures that were similar to each other from a shamanic point of view, with sort of shamanism being an overarching term that not all those cultures used, if that makes sense. And he found the core things that all those cultures do. Shamanism is very geographically based. So what you'd find Mongolian shamans is going to be very different from Peruvian shamans, is going to be very different from Native American shamans. Do you see what? It's because they've got different plants, they've got different climates, and it's all very nature-based. So it depends where you live. So he found what all those different cultural communities did and came back and taught people core shamanism, like what are the core things that shamanic cultures do. So anybody who's trained the way he was explaining, they tend to call themselves core shamanic practitioners. Because culturally in this country, for sure, we don't have native shamans in that way. And anyone who calls themselves a shaman, it's cultural appropriation meets, it's not really a term used by many people. So you were born into a shamanic culture. Yes, you may call yourself a shaman. It's highly unlikely because it's a term only. Yeah. So it gets a bit complicated.
I completely understand.
So most people say they're like a shamanic healer, or like my full title is core shamanic practitioner, because I've learned that. And anyone who says they're a shaman, you've got to go, well, who did you train with? And also, if you're doing it here, why are you teaching Native American shamanism when we don't live in Native America? Or do you see what I mean? It gets a bit complicated.
But
always worth asking the person, like, what, why? Yeah.
And unless you've somehow, like, studied with Picts and Druids, it's not native here.
No, and even that, they've probably got similar things where it's like,
Well, understand. Fabulous.
Can of worms. Put it back.
Can
in.
Of worms. Yeah. Like, yeah. Can of worms. Yeah. All right. So, I'm going to ask you two questions on the next one. I know I said this before, but hey ho.
I love it. Just wing it. Go for it.
Yeah, that's what I do with most. Do you have any top tips to share for someone looking to work with you and appreciate that side? And following that question, anybody who would want to get into actually doing what you do?
Okay. So I would say, if you're the sort of person who's going, there's more to life than all these beliefs and rules that are bounding around the world, making the world a not very happy place, I would say, though this is going to sound counterintuitive, but I would say get to know your body, because we do live in a particularly left brain dominated world. So we put a lot of sway on words. Don't get me wrong, words really useful, but that sort of logic and all that sort of stuff, as opposed to your sort of right brain side, which is more creative, music, poetry, feelings, rhythm, movement. I would say the thing that really helped me was getting to know my body and listening to the wisdom of my body, because I think we have cut ourselves off from that. And that obviously then connects us back to the fact that we are actually mammals. We just forget quite a lot of the time. And so that connects you back to nature. And nature has a lot to teach us. Like, trees are exceptionally amazing.
It's all mushrooms.
Oh, that we could do a whole thing on the magic of mushrooms. Oh, yes. And plants. So yeah. Remembering you're a mammal, getting in touch with your body, trying to listen to the wisdom of your body, especially like your gut instincts, how you feel deep in your bones. So not always what your heart is telling you, because that is very easily swayed by stuff. So remembering you've got a body, moving, getting in touch with that. If you can do that in nature, even better. Watch animals, like just awareness. And then an awareness of your dreams and any more, what I would say is like right brain stuff, being moved by music, poetry, symbols, synchronicities, stuff like that. That would be my top tip. To if any of those are, and you're going, oh yeah, that sounds good, then that's what I would be saying to begin to get you back to realizing you are part of nature, part of Mother Earth, you're one with the ecology of the planet. And then that very much is easier to lead to being more in touch with your wild, wonderful and domesticated soul.
Sounds good to me.
So that was my top tip. And I can't remember what the other thing you said was.
I didn't think you would when I asked it. So I'm going to add it in there just so you don't cover it. If someone wants to learn how to do the core shamanic practice and things like that, and they've gone through this journey, where would they start?
Come and have a chat with me, because there's various different things you can do. The people I am training with at the moment are amazing. So we could have a discussion about like doing some courses with them. But if anybody wants, like, the first thing you always get if you have a healing session with me is a power animal. Again, really amazing. Everybody should have one. They should give them out at school. That would be so good. I'm going to start a campaign.
I like that idea.
I know. It would be so good. But come and have a session with me. Like, or come and have a chat and we can discuss, like, where have you got to? What you're doing? What you're thinking? Do you want to do some, like, training courses? Or do you want to have some soul retrievals, power retrievals, clarity sessions with me that can start you on, and then we can go from there?
Sounds good.
Very happy to drop some links too. So the person I train with, he's amazing and he's written some books. So that's also an option. And I don't make any money from that, but I'm happy to share. Like,
yeah, if you'd like to drop some links, I will happily include them with yours in the show notes. B, let everybody know where they can find you.
Depends what day it is. No, I tend to be the Chamberlain Kid on most social media. I am more active on TikTok, YouTube, and a bit on Facebook. My website is www.essentiallyevolving.co.uk. Just to be annoying, it's because my name is so annoying. It's there's some freebies on there about oils if people want to know about essential oils, and not quite as much of the woo, but I'm going to be putting woo stuff on there soon, so that'll be cool. So I'm mostly best at doing videos because you get much more of who I am, and I do them all unplanned. Otherwise I do sound very autistic. Then there's nothing wrong with that, but yeah,
but so you, I'm much more free flow.
Yeah, I just, you get more of a flavor of what's going through my mind, my crazy ramblings, so.
I know, I love an autistic person's like thought process, especially if it's out loud, and then trying to work back to how we got here. It's always fun.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Always fun. Right, do you have any final top tips on life, business, anything before we finish?
I think my biggest one would be you. And I know that's really tough because we have had so many. Am I allowed to swear?
I'll say yes.
We've had so many bullshit rules put on us, and you know that for sure if you meet people from different cultures or different places, because their bullshit rules are quite often different to yours, and that's how you know they're bullshit. So I'd say, like, even if you don't do anything else, be aware that those little voices that you have floating around your head aren't always doing the best for you. And that's why I'd say get to know your body. I had an example the other day, something happened with my husband and I got that little voice going, oh, that just shows they don't care. And I just stopped and went, no, hang on a minute. I know that's not true. Somebody trying to get in touch with you. I love that. That's not true. And I just stopped and went, right, okay, where's that coming from? Where is that bullshit little voice coming from? And it went right back to something that had happened at school. I thought, okay, I thought I'd dealt with that, but I hadn't. So I went and then did like some little shamanic work on that and went, because I don't want to be sitting there thinking my husband doesn't love me, because I know deep in my bones that he does. And it was just this thing. So it's that, it's trying to catch those things before they happen. And the easiest way to do that is, I think, to get in touch with your body and start listening to what is your body telling you, and then tap into like that more creative side. And I think there's a lovely quote from Bill Plotkin, who wrote Soulcraft: the world cannot fully express itself without each of us fully expressing ourselves.
I like that. And that is a fantastic quote to end on. So thank you, V, for coming to join me. And yeah, everybody go check her out. She's awesome. And if you're not part of the Disabled Entrepreneurs Facebook group, please do come join us. We have lots of fun, and I do this here podcast every so often. But yeah, I've been Joe. I am very busy, so my brain is not working. It's very warm in this room. And I will see you next time in 2 weeks for the next one. And I can't remember again who it is, because everything's now out of order. So I will see you next time. Thank you again, V, for coming to join me.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine, or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.